Hello to all you fancy little fable babies. Welcome to Storytime, the holy grail of great stories from around the interwebs. I'm your host, Will, emotionally available McFadden, and today we are going to listen to some hot and heavy, crass and cringy, sad and spongy breakup stories. But you guys know me, and you know that I am an optimist. So instead of reflecting on my own personal dissolution of past relationships with an obvious focus on she who shall not be named, my ex-wife, Sheila. Oh, sorry, I have a tickle in my throat there. Sorry, you guys, I really can't say her name. Mother and I are practicing negative reinforcement training, and every time I say her name, Mother has to spray me with a spray bottle. It's almost working. Okay, so anyways, I will be doing the absolute opposite. I am not sharing any sad stories. I have put my positive hat on, and I am going to be looking for love instead. That's right, your boy is about to sign up for a dating website. I thought about the apps, but I've heard that they can get a little too scandalous, and I'm looking for a meaningful connection. So after about 4 minutes of research, I've decided to join a new site. It's called Plenty of Shrimp. They've got a mediocre success rate, and you guys all know how much I love seafood salad, so naturally, P of S seems like the obvious and easiest choice. So, I am gonna grab some milk and settle into my chair, pull up the website, and start filling out that questionnaire that'll hopefully end in love. Why don't you listen to this story from Steph Dag while I snap some sultry profile pics?
So my story is about the time that I was broken up with at the 9/11 memorial, twice, once for each tower, I guess. So a few years ago, I met a guy while I was backpacking in Central America. Yes, I am wanderlust tattooed on my ass in Hindi. I'm a free spirit. But I was living on a boat between Panama and Nicaragua, and I got a crush on this guy immediately, hour one of the trip. Which is always a red flag for me because he did absolutely nothing to win that love. Like, he was just born and had dark hair and my ovaries were like, you! So yeah, we had this boat fling and we hooked up in the middle of a shipwreck, the original hot girl summer. But I chose to ignore some of the like glaring problems right off the bat. One being a yin-yang tattoo on his rib, followed by a tattoo of a peace sign on his other rib, followed by a third tattoo of the state of Texas on his calf. Yeah, so up until the end of that boat journey, I was under the impression that he was Swedish. He lived in Sweden, he spoke Swedish, he told me he had an old Swedish girlfriend, and he had the weirdest accent I'd ever heard. And I was just like, oh yeah, that's European, I don't know. Who knows anyone from Sweden? So then when I saw the Texas tattoo, I was like, oh, he loves American culture in the way that I love French culture, AKA bread. Turns out he's from Galveston, Texas, which is arguably the polar opposite of Sweden, according to many researchers. So anyways, we dated for like 8 months, which was 8 months too long to be dating this guy. And I went to Sweden 6 times during that time period, and not Stockholm, no. No, he lived in Linköping, the 5th largest city in Sweden, which was a flex he made often. So yeah, flash forward to a very toxic, bad relationship. Long distance, different time zones, different political parties. He had a biography of George Bush Sr. next to his bed and a dead squirrel on his dresser. So he was a Republican living in a socialist country. So none of that makes sense, but I do have a bad relationship with my dad, so it kind of makes sense if you think about it just a little bit harder. Cut to March 2019. I'm in my office at the World Trade Center because I'm a girl boss with a corporate job. And he tells me we need to talk, which is a war crime. Shout out George Bush again. And I stepped outside to call him and we proceeded to break up as I was looking over at the 9/11 memorial fountains. And honestly, perfect place to get broken up with, because you can cry all you want and nobody says anything. They're like, wow, look at that patriot. you know? Like, you can see the resilience of our country glaring in her eyes. Her tears are just an extension of the water fountains of the memorial. So that happened. And then 2 years later, I had another long-distance boyfriend because I never learned my lessons. Just as toxic, also dark hair, and still working at the same company in the World Trade Center. And he was like, we need to talk. And I was like, I know the drill. Got myself a cigarette, went to the 9/11 memorial. And he dumped me because I wasn't Jewish. Which was like, ow. Yeah, so I was dumped at the 9/11 memorial twice, which I think technically means I'm eligible for some compensation from the New York City government. I am a victim of the attacks, but sorry, is that like too soon? 'Cause I never know when's a good time to like start talking about the breakup. Hashtag never forget. Yeah. I guess the point of the story is that if you are looking to break up with someone, the best place to do it is at a location of universal tragedy, perhaps the Anne Frank House, maybe like a Hiroshima museum. I don't know. I just think, you know, that's an untapped market that we haven't really talked about. So.
Wow, Steph, you just blew my mind. I've been doing it all wrong. Sheila told me she wanted a divorce while we were standing in line for Captain EO at Disneyland. Kids kept seeing me crying, and then they would start crying, which would make me cry harder. Ruined the trip for a lot of families that day. Do me a solid and go follow Steph, okay? I think she earned it with that story. Okay, sheesh, things are sure heating up here. I can't believe that my soulmate could literally be waiting for me just around the digital corner. Or many soulmates. Did you know that only 73% of Americans believe in soulmates? And also, that men are more likely to believe in soulmates than women. It's true. It's so true. 74% of men versus 71% of women believe that soulmates exist. And you know what? Slap my butt and call me Frederick, because I am not ashamed to admit that I, Will, once divorced McFadden, believes in soulmates. So back to this P.O. shrimp questionnaire. I've already put in my name, and I'm currently at the height question. So I'm like pretty okay. I'm, you know, 5'10", which is a pretty chill height if you ask me. But I think I'm gonna strategize to be impressive. I'm gonna put 5'2". That way, when I meet my special lady for a first date, she'll be in for quite a surprise and impressed that I can in fact reach things on the top shelf of the grocery store for her, which very well may be our first date. Age, let's see. I'm gonna put 44. That way, when she sees me, she'll be like, wow, you are so young. You look so good for your age. Okay, occupation, CEO. I mean, a story time, not a lie, not a lie. Not exactly what people assume, but still, not a lie. Ugh, this plan is brilliant. I wonder what else I can slightly fudge for a more impressive in-person experience. Ooh, maybe I'll say I'm an artist. I mean, podcasting is an art. Oh, speaking of artists, here is a short story about a short relationship from artist Justin Siegel.
Have you ever been in a relationship that you hesitate to call a relationship because it was so short that you don't know if you can define it as a relationship? I have, and this is that story. So back in college, I had dated this girl for about 2 years leading up to my graduation. We ended up breaking things off. It was a super toxic relationship. And I just took time after school and after we broke things off to really find out who I was. Who is Justin? What does Justin want in life? I landed a job outside of Nashville, and so I moved there, got an apartment all by myself. It's a beautiful thing. I love living by myself, unless you're in the middle of a pandemic, and then I wouldn't suggest it, honestly. It can get a bit lonely. So somewhere in between me graduating and this point in time, I was actually invited to be a part of my friend's wedding, my friend David. I lived with him in college to see his relationship start. And so I was super happy to be a part of that celebration. Of course, when you're part of a wedding, you get there the day before, you run through it, you have the wedding rehearsal, and then the wedding party goes out to eat afterwards. Well, when we were at the rehearsal dinner, I noticed one of the bridesmaids was very, very attractive, and she caught my eye. She was definitely my type. So I look at my friend David, and I was like, "Hey, who's that girl down there?" He was, "Oh, that's Susie." I said, "Okay." He goes, "What, you think she's cute?" And I was like, "Absolutely, absolutely, I think she's cute." He goes, "Well, she's got a boyfriend, and they've been dating for like 3 years." Like, of course. So the next day is the wedding. I got to have a couple conversations with Susie, and she seemed super dope. But again, she was dating somebody. Ended up getting her number and a couple other numbers of people that were a part of the wedding party. I was like, we should all hang out again, because this was a blast. The past 2 days were super fun. We followed each other on social media, as any person does who is seeking friendship in the digital day and age. I would comment on her stories from time to time. She would comment on mine. Fast forward a bit towards the end of the year, my friend David, who was the groom for the wedding that I was in, hits me up. He's like, "Hey, my wife and I want to come to Nashville for New Year's. Are you going to be spending New Year's in Nashville?" I was like, "Yeah, that'd be a blast." So that was the plan. David and his wife were going to come hang out with me and some of my friends in Nashville, which I was super, super stoked for. I started noticing that she stopped posting pictures of her and her boyfriend. Piqued my interest. And so I go to look on the rest of her feed, and all the pictures of her boyfriend and her are no longer on her Instagram. So I hit my buddy up and I said, "Is Susie still dating that guy?" He goes, "No, dude, they broke up like 2 months ago." When I tell you, I cheered out loud. So that was great news. And I was like, okay, cool. Time to put the plan into action and pursue an actual friendship with her. I hate that word. I'm sorry. I said it and I instantly hated myself for saying it. I said pursue. I take that back. I started trying to be friends with her. That's a normal way to say that. Who says pursue? Evangelical Christians, or people who were raised in the evangelical Christian church. I started trying to be friends with her, and you know, we just started texting. I get a text from David not too long after. He's like, "Hey, we're hanging out with Susie right now." And he goes, "What do you think about her coming down for New Year's with us?" I got the stupidest smile on my face. And again, mind you, I had gone on dates in between the ending of my last relationship till now, but none of them really panned out. None of them got past like an initial first or second date. And for there to be potential that somebody was attracted to me that I was attracted to for the first time in 2 years. So I get back to my apartment after visiting my family for Christmas. I stayed up all night long, deep cleaning my apartment. My friend David had texted me. He's like, "Hey, we'll be there at 11 a.m. I was like, "Okay, dope." So it was about an hour before 11. I'm finishing things up, vacuuming, have a bunch of trash bags by the front door. As I'm vacuuming, I hear, "No, no, no, no." So I go over to the door, answer. I'm like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" Gave them all a hug. Susie is there. And I'm like, "Hey, glad you can make it." Gave her a hug, invited them in, apologized for the trash being by the door. Probably made some dad joke about being trashy. And then spent the whole day together. And it was absolutely incredible. We hit it off super, super fast. Ended up having some really good conversation at the dinner table. Susie and I learned that we had super similar tastes in music, shared Spotify playlists, you know, as any good millennial does. And then we ended up going to this other restaurant that was showing the ball drop closer to midnight. So we get there, they have the dance floor open. So we go to the dance floor. We look around and David and his wife has somehow just disappeared. And I was like, "Where did they go?" And Susie goes, I don't know. I don't know. They just kind of disappeared. And I was like, "Well, they probably wanted to get away from us for when the ball drops." And she laughed. And it's about a minute to midnight and we're dancing. And then the countdown starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year. And I look around and every couple around me is kissing. I look at Susie, she makes eye contact with me, and she's got this grin on her face. And I look into her eyes, and I reach out towards her, and I give her a hug. And I said, "Happy New Year, Susie." I kid you not. She said, "Oh, Happy New Year." And in that moment, my internal dialogue was like, "You idiot. You had a chance to kiss the girl of your dreams on New Year's Eve and you give her a hug instead. I hate myself. Here's where I'm at. I didn't want to mess things up by kissing her and then thinking that, like, oh, he just wanted a New Year's kiss. Like, I genuinely liked this girl and saw a potential, like, future relationship with this girl. And so I didn't want to mess things up by kissing her on New Year's. And I don't know, maybe I'm stupid, whatever. So we went back to the apartment. We all stayed up till about 3 a.m. just talking. Got up the next morning and I made everybody waffles. We had breakfast and then they left. Over the next couple weeks, Susie and I started texting a lot more, started FaceTiming each other almost every night, and it actually started developing into something that began to kind of look like the beginning of a relationship, which made me super nervous because I had not let somebody into my life like that for 2 years. I had opened myself up to the possibility of having somebody come into that part of my life, you know? And that's something that I had struggled with for a while. And before I knew it, I found myself falling for this girl. I don't think I mentioned this, but she was still in college in her senior year and lived about 2 hours away from where I did. And so I visited her a couple times. So the second time that I went to visit her, we ended up having a conversation at the end of the night before I had to come home. And I was like, hey, what are we? So are we boyfriend and girlfriend? Mutually exclusive, as the kids say. And she goes, well, I'm not gonna ask you. And I thought that was kind of weird. I was like, are you wanting me to ask officially, hey, will you be my girlfriend? That feels kind of high schoolish, whatever. So I go, Susie, will you be my girlfriend? She said, yeah, I would love to be. I got those stupid little butterflies in my stomach. So there it was. We were in a relationship. Come back home. Next couple days, her responses weren't as bubbly and flirty. But again, like, everybody goes through their own stuff. And I know that she was going through a hard time with some family stuff. And so I was just like, okay, it's that. 2 days after we had our DTR, define the relationship. We had done that. 2 days after, we were texting, seeing how her day was going, asked her how she was. She was like, I'm okay. And I was like, Susie, how are you really? I sent that text right before I went into the gym. And so got into the gym, put my phone in my locker with the rest of my stuff, and was at the gym for about an hour and a half, you know, getting my fitness on. And so when I left, I looked at my phone and I saw that she texted. As I'm walking out of the gym, I open it up, and I kid you not when I tell you that it was a novel, which would have been fine because I asked her how she actually was. So I figured she was finally opening up. The novel that she sent me was something to the effect of this. Justin, I'm so sorry I haven't been communicating with you, but I've been thinking a lot recently, and with everything going on in my life, I just feel like I'm not in the best place to be in a relationship. I don't even know who I am, and I need to figure out what I want in life and who I am, and I'm just not good for you. That's the SparkNotes version of what she sent me. I feel like I should also state for the record that not only was this my shortest relationship, but it was also the first time that I was broken up with over a text message. So I text her back and I'm like, hey, I totally get where you're coming from, but when you get a chance, I would love to talk to you. So call me when you get the chance. So 2 days later, it took two whole days. This girl did not communicate with me via text message, call me, whatever. She didn't communicate with me for two whole days after this. She calls me and we actually had a really good conversation. We both found closure. I understood that she didn't want to be in a relationship right now. We agreed to still be friends, share songs that we found that we think each other would enjoy, you know, and keep the friendship part of what we had. The funny thing is, that's not the end of this story. Here's the kicker. The next week, I was in an airport in DC on my way to Portland, Maine. It was a layover that got turned into a canceled flight and an overnight stay in DC. It wasn't fun. There was a lot of stress involved. In the middle of me trying to figure out how I'm gonna get to Portland now that my flight got canceled, I receive a text message from Susie. And she said, "Hey, I want you to hear it from me first before you see it on social media. But I've started dating Tyler." And just for context, Tyler and I were in a club together. We were frat brothers when we were in college. And her and Tyler are now dating. She said, "I want you to hear it from me first because I care about you." To everybody listening out there who might find yourself in a relationship a week or so after you told your previous partner that you didn't need to date, you just need to take some time for yourself, don't text them. Don't say that you care about them. That's just not, that's not the move here. And it wasn't the move there. So with that being said, I texted her back and I said, "Good for you." And I never heard from Susie again after that, to this day. And for some reason, I'm blocked on her Instagram as well. After crying in the airport for a little bit and failing to get on the final flight to Portland, Maine that night, I booked a hotel room, slept for a couple hours, and was able to hop on the first flight to Portland, Maine the next day and had the best trip of my life. No lie. It was the most magical trip I've ever taken. It was just me in a cold, desolate state, but it was an absolute blast. But that's a story for another day. I learned something pretty big because of this experience, though. I had built up some major walls after my college relationship. I had been through some emotional trauma, and this was the first time after 2 years that I had let somebody in. I had let those walls down for them. Did it end the way I was thinking it was going to end? Absolutely not. But I'm glad I let those walls down because it taught me that falling for somebody and it not working out doesn't hurt as bad as I thought it would. And it also taught me not to date people who are still in college. So my advice to you, if you find yourself with major walls in your life because of past relationships that might not have worked out too well, don't be afraid to let those walls down. It can be scary to let somebody back in, but at the end of the day, even if it doesn't work out, it's not gonna hurt as bad as you thought it would. And it might leave you open to finding the right person to be in your life for that time and season. Well, yeah, that's the story of my shortest relationship and the first time that I got played. Dab.
Well said, Justin, but you know what? I think I got you beat. I once had a relationship that lasted 10 seconds. I asked this waitress once if she would be my girlfriend, and she said, "Yeah, sure." And then she said, "Wait, what did you just say?" And then I said, "I asked if you would be my girlfriend." And she said, "Oh, I totally misunderstood. I thought you said, could I bring you the check?" Best 10 seconds of my life. Not only is Justin a fantastic storyteller, but he's also an incredible artist. You can find links to his socials in the description. Okay, here we go. Likes and dislikes. Likes: Cats the Musical, Spikeball, Settlers of Catan, Sweet Hot Pickles, Pat Sajak, Taco Bell Crunchy Baja Beef Gordita, Butterfly Kisses, both the action and the song by Michael McDonald, and The Masked Singer. Oh, the costumes are just so great. Dislikes: Meaningless Sex, Toxic Men, Sharks, Candles, Hot Pavement, Aluminum Foil, it's just too crinkly, Square Wristwatches, Zombie Movies Where the Zombies Can Run Too Fast, I mean, get out of here, World War Z, The Color Teal, Are You Green or Are You Blue? Just Make a Decision Already, Luke P. from Hannah B. Season of The Bachelorette, and Rainbow Sherbert. Okay, just a few more questions and then come on over to Papa Podcast, all you lovely single ladies. I'm going to finish this up while you guys enjoy a little RR&R, which stands for a robot Reddit recital. These next tales of heartbreak come from Reddit and will be performed by text-to-speech robots. Enjoy.
One guy broke up with me after he'd been cheating on me for 6 months. He took me to a restaurant to try and mend the relationship. I was hospitalized with food poisoning a day later. The day after that, I woke up at 6 a.m., still in this hospital, to a text that said, "I just don't want to be your boyfriend." He then called himself my best friend and phoned me at 6 p.m. that night to see how I was coping with the breakup. Asshole.
I have been cheated on a few times by the beginning of this relationship and explained to her that if she cheated on me and I found out, I would ditch her. We would go to parks and go hiking most weekends. Sometimes it was a good hour drive to these places. I had found out through social media that she had cheated. So on one of those trips, after she got out of the car I just drove off, there was no signal in the national park, so she had to walk to the front gate to call for a ride. So I guess the story from her perspective is the bad breakup.
My first relationship lasted 5 years, during which my boyfriend explained that he needed to be with someone for 5 years before he knew if it was going to last. He had mentioned multiple times that he would propose on our 5th anniversary. Day comes around, he takes me to dinner, then to the location of our first kiss, where he proceeds to break up with me. Prick.
She was already kind of distant and I was very frustrated that she never seemed to have time for me. She had to work the morning of my birthday and told me she was gonna go home and sleep instead of coming to my party. I was so upset after everything that I broke things off with her immediately after she got off work via text. A bunch of our coworkers showed up to the party and were wondering where she was. I told them she wasn't planning on coming, and they said she'd just been talking that morning about how she was coming, but wanted it to be a big surprise for me. I can deal with being dumped, but having that guilt, knowing that I dumped her, and I was in the wrong, that's what kills me.
I broke up with him, he cried, wouldn't leave, proposed, then would turn up at my place randomly for a year asking me to marry him slash suck his dick.
My fiancé of 2 years came up to me saying she was pregnant, then told me there was only a 33% chance it was mine. She said all of this in front of her friends and roommates. Needless to say, we broke up right there after some heated words.
He cheated on me, and he told me in front of all his friends as they laughed. The girl he cheated on me with had a boyfriend as well. So I slept with him, as revenge.
I woke up one fine October morning and my wife of 8 years was gone, along with her computer and some clothes. Nothing else. Her wedding ring was sitting on the desk where her computer used to sit. No note, no phone message, no hint she was leaving. I found later she had lied to her dad about needing rent money and bought a ticket to live with a 19-year-old boy she had met on an online game.
Oh my god, those poor robots. I could almost hear their hearts short-circuiting. That felt like a group therapy session from the future. Shout out to the following Redditors for sharing their pain. Bartok the Bat, Nasty Sam, Maniacal Seahorse, Amber Mana, Lizzie Dane, Jollyish, Azrael the Undying, and General Fussy Pants. I hope you've all found love. Okay, back to me finding love. Drum roll, please. And here we go. Okay, it's loading. It's loading. It is searching for my perfect match. Ooh.
You've got shrimp.
Oh my god. It says I have one match and 100% accuracy. Oh my god. This is amazing. Oh my god. I was so specific, and this woman must be my dream lady for all of eternity. Okay, okay. Oh my god. Everyone take a deep breath with me. Inhale and exhale. We're all in this together. And congrats, Mr. McFadden. May we present your soulmate at 100% matching profiles, Sheila. Oh my god. No. No. No, this cannot be. Sheila Shea DeVille. Oh my god, I can't breathe. Oh my god. I think I'm having a panic attack. She's my ex-wife, of course. Of course.
I hear you in there saying her name. I'm getting the bottle.
Go away, Mom. Oh, for the love of all that is holy, why would you do this to me? No. Does this mean that she's single? Did she leave that scoundrel that she left me for? No, no, I can't even consider it. Sheila, Sheila, no. Or could I? I don't know. No, she was too much of a tiger, except when she was a kitten. Oh, fuck.
Let me in.
No, go away. Jesus, oh my god, what the hell? Did you just karate kick my door open? Holy shit, you're strong and crazy.
You know what happens now.
Stop it. Stop it. Oh, little money on my nose. Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's episode. As always, I want to give a huge shout out to our fearless storytellers. Hey, do you want to be on an upcoming episode of Storytime? If you have a great story to tell, record your story and send it to storytime@collab.inc. Or you can call the Storytime hotline and leave us a message. Give us a call at 323-741-1873. And we'll share our favorites on our next listener episode. Oh, you're still listening? Cool, cool, cool. Well, if you've gotten this deep into the episode, you might as well rate it and review it and share it with a friend or an enemy. Makes no difference to me as long as I get those sweet, sweet streams. Storytime is produced by iHeartRadio and Collab. Executive producers Eric Jacks, Song Kang, and Will McFadden. Hosted by Will McFadden. Produced by Jessica Eccles, Jason Shapiro, Daniela Mora, and Jenny Ulmer. Written by Jenny Ulmer. Voice acting by Jenny Ulmer. Sound design by Tony Maddox. Original score by Scott Simons. Cover art by John Kusagaya. Animation by Bella Bouchon.